Amen. Well, if you've been edified, please rise to your feet. And turn with me to Romans chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man that judgest, them which do such things, and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 20. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalts himself, if a man smite you on the face. Please bow with me now as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and how your word has been sent specifically to encourage us tonight and to build us up. Father, where we lack faith, increase our faith. Help us in our unbelief, God, that we may receive these messages and go forth with your word throughout this city and throughout this world. We thank you for your servant, our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for the two portions tonight that were very rich. And the music with the French choir and Mary that has a little lamb. As I bring this message tonight, this message understands when there are problems that have to be solved, when accountability has to be expressed. So please understand that this is the preface to the message. But I want you to notice this tonight, that the Word of God has a specific standard. The standard is grace, love, the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard through the Holy Spirit against him. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to raise up a standard against our enemy in each case in Isaiah 59:19b. But as I read the scriptures and think of Christianity as we all know it, Christianity is such a tremendous principle. If God doesn't raise up the standard, we will not make it. Romans 1 is the immoral man. Romans 2 is the moral man. And Romans 3 is the religious man. So all of the moral man was judging the immoral man, and the religious man was judging the moral man and the immoral man. The immoral man was just rebelling against God. So we have those three problems in the first three chapters. So God says, thou art inexcusable, O man, who art thou that judgest another? For in that thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For in that thou judgest, thou doest the same things. He did not say the same thing. For we are sure that truth will be according to the word of God in the original. For those that judge, and you that judge and do the same things, do you think you'll escape the judgment of God? But then in verse 4, despisest thou the riches of God's goodness, his forbearance and long-suffering? Knowest not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? For the hardness and impenitent heart traces up wrath against wrath and the revelation of God at the judgment seat, and the original says, through God's righteousness or justice. What I want you to see tonight, how supernatural the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. The word forbearance, enoches first, is a truce of arms where God delays his anger. Then it means this. It's a truce where God sets punishment aside because his son is going to pay for all the sins, and he patiently waits and doesn't deal with man the way he should, according to what we think. So Romans 3:25 says he passes over sin through his forbearance. And what we want you to see about forbearance is this most incredible definition. And here it is. This now is for man. It's in Colossians 3:13, Ephesians 4:2, and so on. And it's a tremendous thing. It means that if somebody attacks me, then I close my eyes and suffer the pain of their attack and don't react. Now, you can't do that. You cannot do that unless the Holy Spirit raises up a standard, which simply means this. This is eternal life, to know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom he sent in John 17:3. That I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be conformed unto his death. Now, in other words, if you understand this correctly, it starts out with despising the riches of his goodness. Christodes, the word for riches, or goodness rather, means that God gently penetrates his gentleness in people so they'll have a capacity to get to know him through his patience. It's mercy enduring forever. 26 times and 136. That's what God's goodness is. It's where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Romans 5:20. That's what divine goodness is. It's the other night's message, the negative suffix, prefix, and manesco, which means what? That God never takes, won't let us take the past and have it relate to the present as far as he goes. So here we have goodness. It means divine goodness sees Christ's payment for our sin and Christ intercessing for us in heaven, and divine goodness gently penetrates us with the perfect patience of his love and mercy and grace through his long suffering. Do you have that now? Now, one of the greatest words in the Bible is forbearance. Colossians 3:13 says, forbear one another, forgive one another. If any man have quarrel with another, forgive as Christ forgives. And above all, put on the perfection of love and the bond of peace in verse 14. Ephesians 4 says that we walk worthy of our vocation wherein we are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Just imagine what forbearance is. Now think, as Martin Luther said, the mystery of God's love is his patience toward him and toward people like him. He said that's the mystery of God. Forbearance. Postponing dealing with wide open sin. Setting punishment aside for a long time instead of discipline. You don't realize how much God withholds discipline because of his forbearance. And he raises up that standard in us. I'll never forget when we had Hyman Appleman in South Berwick, and he told us a story that he went 15 times to a Jewish unsaved man's house, and he'd knock on the door and just say, "Would you let me tell you that Jesus loves you?" And the man would slam the door. That's after he got saved. He used to know him. He did it 15 times. On the 12th time, the man spit in his face. On the 13th time, he spit in his face. On the 14th time, he spit in his face. And on the 15th time, he spit in his face and slapped him in the face. The last time after he did that, Hyman Appleman said to this Jewish friend, used to be his friend, he said, "You can do that all you want to, but I'm going to come back. You can hit me, spit on me, I'll be back." 1 year later, he led him to Christ. Forbearance. Postponing negativity, reaction. Postponing anger or punishment. It's an amazing thing. Billy Graham was attacked by the right-wing crowd constantly because they said he was into cooperative evangelism. And they wrote article after article against him. But Jesus went in the synagogue. Jesus preached in the synagogue. And whatever Billy Graham did, he may have been all things to all men, but I know he did it because he loved them, and he did it to win souls. But Billy Graham's right-hand man, Beverly Shea, said, in all those years that Bob Jones University and John Rice and others were attacking Billy Graham publicly and nationally and internationally, Beverly Shea said he never heard Billy Graham, if they'd ever bring it up, he'd say, "Don't bring that up. Pray for him right now." Forbearance. Forbearance. When my dad died and my mother had all of us children very young, and she didn't have money, and money was very short in those days. For 1 year, we lived on $30 a week. Then we were old enough to go to work, some of the older brothers. But the select men would come to the house and say, "We're not going to give you that $30 because you had the Adams boy eat dinner here Saturday night." They'd come with their suits on, threatening her just because she had the Adams boy in for beans and he's rolled. They didn't have a mom and dad. And she was such a woman of forbearance. The Apostle Paul, in all of his suffering, was so tremendous in forbearance that he would die for the Jews in Romans 9:3, as Moses would Israel in Exodus 32:32, if they were going to be blotted out of the book of life. All of that, see, that's not eye for an eye. That's not remembering something somebody has done. That is forbearance. When I see a young person that has failed, and I love them to death, and when I see a young person that's failed, and they failed 2 weeks ago, and I won't even bring it up to them, I'm just going to love them. You know why? Because I'm going to draw them near with the cord of love, with the cord of a man and the bands of love in Hosea 11:3, and I'm going to get them to see love and want to be around us and want to be around here until they become one of God's heavenly stars. Now, you just think with me for a moment. See if you pass this test, as I ask myself, in 2 Corinthians 11:20. We are to forbear if anyone puts us in bondage. We are to forbear. Or we are to forbear if anyone what's? What's the second thing? If anyone puts us in bondage, we are to show this forbearance. If anyone smites us in the face, if anyone exalts himself above us, if anyone steals, if anyone tries to devour us is second. Stealing is third. Exalt himself above us is fourth. And smite us in the face is fifth. Five things, fellas. Five things. That if you're spirit-filled, you will forbear all these five things with a gnomic aorist in Matthew 6:14. And because you're so filled with God, you walk in the Spirit, you have the spirit of forbearance, you cannot have a problem in your heart in the world. Because you're just filled with knowing Christ's nature, reflecting Christ's love, walking in the Spirit, and going from strength to strength in Psalm 84:7. Let me ask you something. That is a supernatural way of life. Then it says long-suffering. Long-suffering is macrothumia. It deals with people. And there it deals with this subject, macrothumia. It deals with having such divine patience that you wait for God to take vengeance. You're so filled with patience, like Romans 12:21, like you heap coals of fire on their head, like 1 Peter 3:12, you don't revile back because you've inherited a blessing for not reacting. So that's long-suffering. Long-suffering, by the way, I'm not talking about if a husband beats a wife or if somebody constantly lives in morality, if you have an option there, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the attitude of the heart. And just think about it. Goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. And God says, this leads us to repentance. This leads us to repentance. So God uses goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering through his riches of grace to lead one, two, three people into changing their mind about his nature, responding to his love. And that is why Jeremiah 31:18 and 19b, turn me, and I'll be turned. And he turned me, and then I repented. After he turned me, I repented. But he had to turn me first. David said in Psalm 85, turn me, I can't do a thing, turn me. And God turned him. This is a unique thing. The immoral man being judged by the moral man, and the religious man judged both of them. And so God said, you're doing the same things. He didn't say you're doing the same thing. He said, do you think that you will escape in verse 3? The judgment of God, you that judge like that and do the same things. Do you think you escape the judgment of God? He said, through the hardness of the heart, he said, you will treasure up wrath against the day of wrath until Jesus Christ's righteous revelation of judgment comes. And this means that every single time that the moral man was judging the immoral man and the religious man was judging the moral man, he was every single day of his life, he stood up wrath that would be revealed at the white throne judgment. This is for the unsaved. But I want you to see that Christianity lives in an amazing supernatural forgiveness that is supernatural, a supernatural joy, a supernatural peace, and a supernatural long-suffering, and a supernatural goodness. And Christianity is living in the eight ingredients of love in Galatians 5:22 and 3. It is a supernatural life because of grace and love, and because we have somebody that lives inside of us. We have somebody that lives deeply within every part of our soul and unconscious mind. We have the power within, and for that reason, God can raise up a standard of the category with the power of grace and power of love. It's not striving or trying. It's letting God take over on the inside and transform us into His image. And as God does that, you have a supernatural race in the new creation. And that's what you have. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Stan, we're going to sing before we dismiss you. Worship some more. I stand. Father, dismiss us. We thank you for this evening. Dismiss us in the precious name of Jesus and bless the events that will take place now, and continue to give safe journeys, health, and protection as we continue this convention. In Jesus' name, amen.